In for JR tonight, you got me for the next 3 hours. Me, I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine. Got my good friend Ryan spinning the wheels back in studio. You want to call us? Do it. The number's 888-710-4ISN. Remember when you were a kid and you would see your teacher out in public and you're just like, well, there was one of two things. You were like me and you just went to the other aisle immediately and tried to hide in fear of them talking to your parents. Or you were like real excited and you tried to give them a weird public teacher hug. You know what I'm talking about. The one thing weirder than that is as an adult when you see your old teachers. Because now you're an adult. You got a family of your own and a career. And they still remember you as a little snot-nosed kid that was causing all the problems. Because I remember like when I was young, I wouldn't get arrested or anything like that. But I was definitely getting put in time out. And this is back when it was okay in school to, it was between like what we've gotten into the last 10 years and then what our like grandparents dealt with when it was okay to like hit kids with a ruler. I'm pretty sure they just like put me in a padded room is what I'm trying to tell you back when I was in school. But anyway, so I feel like teachers that you see when you're older still remember you as that kid that you used to be. Running into, before I came to the show today, this is why I bring it up. I ran into my old teacher, Ms. Craven. And Ms. Craven was my seventh grade science teacher. And back then, the big game that we would play, because this is back when my Game Boy was big, but you weren't allowed to play your Game Boy because it's not 2025 where everybody just pulls out their cell phones at school and has their earbuds in. The teacher's like, can you even hear me, kid? This is back when you had to entertain yourself somewhat. So we played paper football. You remember paper football? So I run into Ms. Craven before the show today. It was like 2 hours ago. And she goes, you're Sean Levine, aren't you? And I'm like, yeah, are you Ms. Craven? And she's like, you still playing paper football? And she said it's smug. And I was like, no, I'm 40. I want to say you still flipping those, what are they called, Bunsen burners? you still doing the beaker game, Ms. Craven? Unbelievable. That's part of why I like radio. Because people get to hear me now and they're like, hey, I remember him. That was the kid that used to ding-dong ditch me. He was my neighbor. All right, he's did all right for himself, sort of. Anyway. You probably came here to hear about some football, so let's talk some football. It was not a good game for the Miami Dolphins. I think clearly if we're talking about the good teams, the hierarchy starting to separate itself, there's still some questions. Like, I don't know how good Kansas City is. I don't know how good over in the NFC. I don't know if Philly's as dominant as we thought they were. You know, we've seen 1 week of football, so let's not get too excited. But also there's some bad, and we knew the bad was going to be. I think we knew heading into this season that there was a chance that New Orleans was going to lose a bunch of football games, and they lost their first game. And I think a lot of us looked at the Dolphins and went, yeah, they're probably not going to be very good this year. I think the Dolphins are going to suck like a straw. I'm not actually that surprised, and I put my money where my mouth was. I thought Indy was going to beat them up all over the field the way they did, and that's not even a good football team. Honestly, the Colts might end up with a top 10 pick in the upcoming draft. They're not good. Their quarterback room stinks. There's a bunch of questions. And they went out there and beat Miami 33-8. If I had to bet on who the first coach to get axed is, I bet it's Mike McDaniel. Because Brian Daboll, heading into the season, he really didn't have a ton to work with. And we'll get back to him. And for whatever reason, he's decided to go with Russell Wilson in week two instead of Jackson Dart. That seems really obvious. The leash has to be incredibly short for Russell Wilson. But as far as Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins go, there's not just another quarterback that you can turn to. This is it. This is what you're dealing with. They're a team that a couple of years ago, if you remember Miami when they first got Tyreek Hill, he had back-to-back 120 catch, 1,800-yard seasons. When Tua was healthy, looked like a top 10 quarterback. They made the playoffs. The Dolphins were a team. Or no, actually, I don't think they did make the playoffs. I think there was that year. Yeah, the Dolphins have actually not made the playoffs, I want to say, for like 25 years. Something crazy like, what is it?
They made it, but Skylar Thompson was the quarterback.
That's right.
And it really didn't count. They haven't won a playoff game in
that's what happened.
So long.
By the way, Skylar Thompson, K-State, great. So it's 25 years the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game. Is a stat that I was looking for, which is the longest in the NFL. Think about all the different stuff that you've done. Maybe you're not even 25 years old. And every NFL team in that time has found a way to somehow win a playoff game. Jacksonville, Carolina, even the terrible ones. The Raiders have won a playoff game since the last time that the Dolphins did. And the Dolphins aren't going to win a playoff game this year. And the only question is, when do they fire their coach? Do they get the number one pick? And are they going to keep going with Tua going forward? Because Tua, like, you look at his numbers, he's a guy, for whatever reason, gets a pass. There were a few quarterbacks that were high draft picks that were great in college that we don't blame enough. We're too busy saying Josh Allen can't win the big game or Lamar Jackson can't beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs or whatever it is. How come we don't talk about Trevor Lawrence, a number one pick who's done absolutely nothing in his career? Or Kyler Murray? Or, I don't know, Tua? You look at his numbers, he had 170 passing yards where he's got some good weapons around him. That team is just an absolute train wreck. And on the other side, it was Daniel Jones, who all of a sudden has a career game, 22 of 29 for 272 yards. Who would have thought that Daniel Jones was going to be by far the better quarterback on the field yesterday? And honestly, again, I know it's just one game, so I don't want to get too excited. But going forward, I think there's as much upside for Daniel Jones with this team as there is Tua. If I'm a Dolphins fan, I've seen enough. To me, he's a backup, a good one, but he's a backup quarterback. It has nothing to do with the health concerns and all the concussions. The only thing about that is you have to watch him with one eye open. Every time he scrambles a little bit, you're like, I hope he doesn't get hit. And then when he does, you instantly, your heart sinks. He's just, it's not his fault, but Tua's not fun to watch. Let's be honest. He's just not. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number, or that team isn't. That team is terrible. In the AFC West, as a Chiefs fan, I can tell you for the first time since Mahomes, actually, you got to go back further. So the Chiefs have won the division the last 8 years, and it's all the way back to before Mahomes was even drafted. So they won when Alex Smith was the quarterback for a couple of years, and then since Patrick Mahomes has been the starter every single year. I think that chain breaks this year. Only because, and this has nothing to do with the Raiders, who had a good win yesterday, and I like the moves they made, and Geno Smith is an upgrade, and even though Pete Carroll's 122 years old and looks like he's 40, I think that team's probably going to ultimately be a 7-win football team at best. But you look at the other teams in the division, they all won except for Kansas City, and the Chargers beat Kansas City head-to-head, so they've got the tiebreaker in hand. And then you got the Broncos, who didn't look great, but ultimately they won also. If you made me bet, and I can take the rest of the field in the AFC, you give me those other teams, or I got to take the Chiefs to win it again, I think I'm going to go the other way. I think I'm going to say this is the year. I don't know if it's going to be Denver or the Chargers, but if you give me both of them, they both look pretty good. And their quarterbacks, I'm not saying they're better than Patrick Mahomes, but at the end of the year, if we just go by the numbers and the win-loss total, is Justin Herbert going to put up bigger numbers? We saw a head-to-head matchup a couple of nights ago, and Patrick Mahomes looked somewhat pedestrian by his standards. We had a couple of awesome highlights, but the numbers didn't blow you away. They're probably even better than they really were. There was that kind of garbage touchdown pass to Travis Kelce where he did most of the work. So, yeah, Justin Herbert feels like it's his time, doesn't it? If anything, it probably should have been his time a couple of years ago. Where are we now? Year number 5, 6 that he's a starting quarterback? No more blaming it on the organization. Oh, but they're the Chargers. Well, now they got a competent head coach. He went out there and had 325 yards and 3 touchdown passes against the Chiefs. I'm just saying, at the end of this year, look at that division and look at the quarterbacks. Is it still Patrick Mahomes, or is it now Justin Herbert time? Broncos fans are probably going, it's Bo Nix time. Bo Nix last year, nobody talked about as a rookie because we were too busy talking about Caleb Williams' nails and underachieving and Jaden Daniels the best thing since sliced bread. We just weren't paying attention to the Broncos, who were winning a bunch of playoff games, sneaking the back door of the playoffs. Bo Nix, 29 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 1-0 this year. Bo Nix, by the end of this year, is probably going to be a top 10 quarterback. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. So the West is going to be a division to watch for the first time in damn near a decade. As far as the Bengals go, and we'll get to Pittsburgh here in a second with Aaron Rodgers, the Bengals are a fraud. It's just one game, but that's the type of game where not only do you have to win, you should win looking very impressive. Cleveland, the entire offseason, the conversation was not even about anybody that was on the field yesterday. That's how good Cleveland's expected to be. We talked so much about Shador. when he got drafted, where he slid in the draft. Is he going to be the starter? Remember the preseason game for the next couple of days? His dad's tweeting out or Xing out, whatever we call it these days. Oh, thank the Lord, because he went out there and played good in the preseason. Like, we made all this big deal about Shador, who ends up being a third-string quarterback because they're going with a 40-something-year-old Joe Flacco, who, if you remember, he tried to quit. He tried to retire and say, I'm done with football a couple of years ago. And then he came back and Cleveland called him. Then he went back to Indy. Then he came back to Cleveland. Good for that guy for keeping his body in shape and collecting NFL paychecks. And also good for him for being humble, because Joe Flacco's a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback. If you look at his stats and you look at, he's like a Matthew Stafford. Do we put those guys in the Hall of Fame? If we're going to even entertain the conversation about a guy like Phillip Rivers ever getting into Canton, then you have to talk about those guys who, oh, I don't know, actually won the Super Bowl. You might not remember, but it was a decade ago that Joe Flacco, the game the lights went out, won the Super Bowl, and he's put up some big numbers since. Same thing with Matt Stafford. It took a minute, but eventually he cashed in. Those guys, to me, if you put up the numbers for that long and you win a Super Bowl, that gets you in. If you're Carson Palmer, no, we're not going to talk about that, or Phillip Rivers or any of those guys. But we're not talking about any of those guys any right now. We're talking about Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow put up a 178 yesterday, only two connections with Ja'Marr Chase, for an offense that's how they're going to win football games. They're going to have to outscore you. They're not going to win based on defense. And yesterday the defense looked pretty good, so let's give them credit. They only gave up 16 points, but they gave up 16 points to a Browns offense that was led by Joe Flacco with a bunch of young guys and old guys. A bunch of guys that are about to either retire, or a bunch of guys that it was week one or two, first NFL snaps they've ever taken. You look at that roster, it's not that good. There's no reason, I don't care the fact that it was week one, the game was played in Cleveland, that Cincinnati doesn't blow the doors off a team like that. Think about all the incentive that Cincinnati had. You don't want to go 0-1 in the division. You don't want to have to go after the first week of the season publicly hearing your own fans and people like me saying you lost to the Cleveland Browns, right? If you're the coach, Zach Taylor, you're on the hot seat as it is. Bro, yeah, you took your team to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, Burrowhead, when Joe Burrow came to Arrowhead and beat Mahomes and all that, but what have you done for me lately? This is the NFL. This is the ultimate chopping block. If you don't do something now, we'll get rid of you and bring the next guy in. And so for Zach Taylor, you got to realize the reason you've been kept out of the playoffs the last couple of years is your coaching, your defense, and your lack of concern for early season games. Where Cincinnati started 0-2 or 1-3 the last couple of years, and then we look up the middle of the year, all of a sudden they're 500. We talk about Joe Burrow in the MVP race, and then they either blow a game at the end or win a game and fall. I mean, it's Groundhog Day with the Cincinnati Bengals. What I'm saying is, if any team had incentive for their coach, the way the last couple of years went, playing a division opponent, to go out there and just beat down a much weaker opponent, it was Cincinnati week one against Cleveland. And they beat them by one, bro. And honestly, Cleveland probably should have won that game. So I'm done with talking about Cincinnati among the elite, because they're not. In fact, the year that Cincinnati got to the Super Bowl, I think we're going to probably look back on as the exception to the rule. Remember the old Sesame Street, which one of these is not like the other? Well, let's not pretend like we got the Bills we saw last night. We got the Ravens we saw last night. Say what you will about my Chiefs. Maybe they take a little bit of a step back, but they're clearly still amongst the elite. And Cincinnati? No, not that team that I saw last night. Not that team that I saw last year. And Joe Burrow, for being a guy that puts up awesome numbers, a guy that won the Heisman number one pick, in college, he put up a 60-touchdown season. I was doing the math the other day. How many games did they play in college? Like 13 or 14 divided by 60? I don't remember the answer I came up with, but that's like damn near like 4 or 5 touchdowns. It's something crazy. But Joe Burrow also has those games like yesterday where what happened? That didn't happen to Lamar Jackson. That didn't happen to Josh Allen. Amongst the elite, you got to show up in the big games. And oftentimes Joe Burrow does, but sometimes we saw what we did yesterday. So I'm not a believer in Cincinnati. I actually think that Pittsburgh's the second best team in that division behind Baltimore. What a fun game that was. 34-32. Now, probably wasn't fun if you're a Jets fan. But ultimately, you saw a bunch of highlights. And from a Jets perspective, you have to think at least we got a couple things. We have a competent starting NFL quarterback, which I'm not sure if anybody knew or still knows when it comes to Justin Fields. Let's give him a month without having to look over his shoulder, without having like he did last year, Russell Wilson. Can you imagine getting supplanted by that guy? You're playing pretty good. You're winning football games. You finally got a shot. And then they come to you. They're like, hey, actually, Russell Wilson's got his, he's going to get his job back. I'd be like, what? What are you doing? That guy, he stinks. Jackson Dart's got to feel the same way. Can you imagine me and Jackson Dart right now? Not just having self-confidence, being a swaggy 22-year-old kid, but the numbers that he put up in the preseason, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, damn near 400 yards through the air, another 50 on the ground, another touchdown, led into a couple of wins, some highlights, and then you get told, hey, you're not going to be the starter because we're going to go with Russell Wilson. Honestly, Justin Fields should have a conversation with Jackson Dart. They should call each other, page each other. I don't know if pager is still a thing. And be like, hey, can you believe that guy? Did they put that guy on the field ahead of us? Russell Wilson was 17 of 37 yesterday for $168. And then he came out after the game and said, hey, you know what Russell Wilson says. Corniest player in the history of football. Also, I think he's played himself out of being a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I don't know if that's ever happened. You would think that as a guy's career goes along, most of the time, okay, he's good, then he's great, then he has his, you know, peak. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. A few years ago when Russell Wilson took Seattle to back-to-back Super Bowls, I think most people were saying, that guy is maybe the best quarterback in the league at the time and a first-ballot Hall of Famer. Look at the stats, look at the wins, look at the Super Bowls. Look at the last few years, though, and can we knock off, like, some of his Hall of Fame worthiness for his cheesiness, or is that not fair? I feel like a guy's, like, not a good dude sometimes. Baseball or football, the NBA Hall of Fame, they at least make him wait a while. They're like, you know what? He was kind of a jerk, so he doesn't get in first ballot. I'm not saying Russell Wilson's a jerk. He's the opposite of that. He needed to be a jerk after the game yesterday. When they put a microphone in your face and they say, hey, how'd you think it went? And you went 17 of 37 for 168. You shouldn't even be the starter. You should be saying, you know what? I'm so thankful that they gave me another shot, and I'm so sorry that I sucked it up again. I'm sorry to my team. I'm sorry to my family, to my agent, to my coach. And dude comes out and says something to the effect of, we gave it our all. We're looking forward to next week. Blood, sweat, and tears. We're a bunch of brothers. Bro, nobody wants to hear that crap. I'm so glad. It'd be tough to be a fan of any team that Russell Wilson's the quarterback of. Coming up on the other side, let's get back into that Baltimore game last night. In fact, Jeremy Kahn from Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show joins us next right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Sean Levine.
That's me. You are 1 hour away from Monday Night Football. Dun, 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 dun. That is the Bears hosting the Vikings. The Bears are a 1.5-point favorite. We'll keep you updated on that as we roll along. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. I still can't believe that Ryan said that I was the petty one with that girl. I mean, yeah, I blocked her number, and I told her that I could smell her breath through the text, but she's the one that could have just blocked my number and not said, leave me alone. So I feel like, you know who's pettier than all of us, though? Bill Belichick. So if you can be 73 years old and still be as petty as that guy, he's basically turned into a valley girl. Like, he's kicking it with other 22-year-old girls, or however old his girlfriend is, and he's going, if you're not going to let us in your clubhouse, in your treehouse, then you can't come into mine. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Bill Belichick apparently made a rule that New England staff is not welcome at Carolina because Carolina is not welcome at New England. Then it came out earlier today. Mike Vrabel was like, no, he can come to our facilities. It's just great that these grown-ass men are arguing over access. You know what I mean? You're telling me Bill Belichick was going to show up a couple of weeks ago before these stories came out and they were going to lock him out? Come on now. Bill Belichick? Who was going to be the head of security that had to tell him? I'm glad that's not my job. You know that guy Bill Belichick's got some pent-up anger and some old man strength. He'll whoop your ass. 888-710-4ISN is that phone number. Another guy with grown man strength. We welcome on now my good friend from Baltimore. He hosts the Big Bad Morning Show. He is Jeremy Kahn. Dude, where do we even start with that game last night? I guess I'll just say WTF. Like, where do you want to start? What happened?
I feel like you always call me when something's going wrong in Baltimore.
That's a Baltimore thing. That's not a me and you conversation. That's a you and your sports town conversation.
Yeah, man. Look, if you go back to last night, it's so funny because I kept saying I think the Ravens are going to win by double digits, and it appears the worst thing for the Ravens is to get up double digits. They've lost 17 games where they've had double-digit leads.
No.
The most since 1991. And over the past 3 years, they've lost 8 games where they had a 90% better chance of winning said game. And, you know, they were asking about it today on his post-game press conference and some sound from this morning. And I feel like he talks in circles sometimes, but it is so weird how
Lamar or Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
I'm with you, man. It feels like they're snake bitten, but when you bring up a number like that, it's more than bad luck. It's, what do they say, coffees for closers? They just don't get any coffee out there. Like, what's the deal? How can you be in so many games like last night where you're not just good, you dominate? If you've got a 90% chance to win an NFL game, last night there was one point where they had like a 99.4% chance to win a game. There's something going on, man.
Yeah, it was the exact opposite of what we had Saturday night with the Orioles coming back on the Dodgers off of a no-hitter through 8 2/3. I mean, you feel like you're golden here. There's no way you can lose this game. And the weird thing is now, like last year, bringing in Derrick Henry, you're supposed to have this thumper that's going to be your closer, and you give him one carry at that point, and he picks up a yard, and so you don't go back to him. And if you're not going to go back to him, why are we doing this weird stuff with Zay Flowers? And I just like. You don't get it sometimes. And I think it's the minutia in the games, like snapping the ball when there's 25 seconds on the play clock in the fourth quarter when you're running. I mean, the clock's your enemy at that point. That's all you want. You want the clock to run. So, like I say, you make good luck sometimes. Maybe you make your own bad luck by doing stupid things over and over.
Before he was bad, though, JC, I mean, Derrick Henry was awesome. What'd he finish with? Like a 160-something, a couple of touchdowns. Yeah, the fumble was costly, but there's no question there's plenty of gas left in that tank.
Oh, man, he looks ridiculous. And everybody has seen his workout regimen, or maybe you've seen what he's putting in his body. It's insane. It's incredible, too, because I think I heard something the other day that he still in the NFL hasn't surpassed how many yards he had in high school. And if you've never seen his high school numbers, it's like when people tell you stories about Wilt Chamberlain. It's the most ridiculous thing you'll ever see in your life. And who wanted to be tackling him in high school? But yeah, he's a guy that looks great, man. And we're not used to seeing the fumbling stuff. We know he's capable of breaking one off, and that's clearly what he did a couple times in the game. And it makes you wonder, why don't you just keep feeding the beast at that point and see if they can stop him?
Now, when you say Wilt Chamberlain's record, do you mean the points and the rebounds or the 20,000 number? Which one are we talking about here?
Well, all of those. I mean, Wilt's putting up triple doubles, you know, in Philadelphia, and he's doing it also back at the hotel room, man.
Jeremy Kahn joining us here from Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm not just saying this, I'm a Chiefs fan. I truly believe that that was an AFC Championship game preview. The Chiefs look like they've taken a little bit of a step back. And for the sake of both Lamar and Josh Allen, damn it, it better be, because they might not ever be able to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Do you agree with me that as good as that game was, we're probably going to see it again later on in the playoffs?
I mean, you kind of hope so. Like, again, like it's the one thing I kept saying was going to happen is that one of the teams is going to beat the Chiefs and then go lose the next game because they finally slayed the dragon. And now it's like, hey, this is what happens. And I think the Bills should run roughshod over their division. So we'll see what happens toward the end of the year. This could be one of those great tiebreakers. And AFC North looked, I think Pittsburgh was kind of a surprise. So you're hoping that you could see something like this down the stretch. I went on a couple of Buffalo radio stations, and they're like, you know, it kind of sucks to do this in the beginning of the year. It's always kind of nice to look forward to it, but now it's over, and it's still one of the best games you could possibly watch.
One of the best games I've ever seen, although I wonder going forward, like you think about momentum and you think about playoff seeding, if we do get this one again, it might come down to home field, especially with the fact that only one team gets a bye, so started great for Buffalo. We've seen this before. Speaking of my Chiefs, you can hurt my feelings here. How much do you think they've taken a step back? Because clearly they have.
I think there's something there that it's. But you know what? they're still doing the same stuff we talked about. I mean, you watch Omarion Hampton run out of bounds and leave a few seconds up there, a little extra for Pat Mahomes, and he puts a little magic together to get some points. Maybe the Chargers are just way better than we think. Maybe the travel to Brazil, that's 13 hours in the damn air. I don't know why the NFL's doing that, but, like, you know, maybe that's something that happened, because I think the Chiefs win this week. It's one of my favorite plays. I think they knock off the Eagles. So I think you're – I don't want to greatly misinterpret the downfall of the Chiefs, because I'm hoping for it. Sorry, buddy. But I don't think we're quite there yet. I just think the Bills and the Ravens might have a little bit of an edge on them this year.
What, do you want them to drive to Brazil? I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a long
no,
flight.
No, they shouldn't be playing there. It's silly, man. The NFL's just bowing down to the almighty dollar. It doesn't make sense.
I do like the London games, though, because for gambling degenerates like you and me, we get a chance to gamble that early time slot. I think that's one of the great tricks the NFL has pulled, where, like, in the Midwest, we got the 12 kickoff, we got the 3 p.m. kickoff, we got the night game, and then now you also have to wake up, and you're all groggy, and you're making your prop bets. I don't mind the London ones, JC.
Yeah, it's funny, because, like, I've been out in, like, Vegas or on the West Coast, and it is kind of cool getting up in the morning and having, like, a 10 a.m. football game. I mean, I do a morning show, so obviously I'm up early, and it always makes sense for me. And it would be nice to be able to go to bed a little bit earlier and not try to fight off falling asleep during the Ravens-Bills game. It's too damn exciting, but yet you're gassed. So, yeah, man, it is interesting.
Is that admitting to falling asleep? And I know that you've got, like, your sleep apnea issues, so I'm not talking smack, but you didn't make it through?
No, man. The funniest
good
thing about
it. Good for you to admit
is,
it, man.
Oh, I got no problem admitting it. I'm well past, because, like, I rewatch games on YouTube anyway and sure. Catch up. But the best part of it was, like, I passed out, and then I woke up, and I don't have my readers on, and I'm looking at my phone, and it's like, did I say 40, 41? What? That doesn't even make any sense. They were up 15 when I fell asleep. And then you're like, what the hell? And then you're kind of wide awake at that point. So it's like, why go back to bed?
I had turned to Golden Girls to see what it was, a good episode. And then I turned back and just to see if I had hit my prop bets. And I was like, what is going on? Like you said, like, how is this even possible? But I think Buffalo's kind of turned into the new Chiefs, where no matter how big the deficit is, and now they've got the guy. And Baltimore, like we said, it just, for whatever reason, a great team that at some point has to cash in. Lamar doesn't give me the vibes that he lets it get to him, though. Is he just doing that publicly because he plays cool, calm, and collected? And he was the quarterback of a team last year that lost week one in Kansas City. I know it because I was there. They probably should have won that game. He lost the playoff game. Mark Andrews dropped a lob from him. They should have won that game. He lost the MVP trophy to Josh Allen. He should have won that. They lost again last night. And every single time he just comes out and he's like, on to the next.
I don't think it's an act. I just think he's chill, man. Like
he is chill.
It's crazy because you think about it and like seeing him out and about and like watching some of the people and how they react to him. And it's not like this big deal. He's just kind of laid back and he's a cool guy. So it is fun to watch him play though, man. He does some things out there that I've never seen anybody do. And I hope at some point for his sake that he gets there, gets to experience the whole Super Bowl thing. But you know, he and Josh Allen got to earn it. And the thing about Josh Allen is you want to hate him, but he's so freaking likable, man. It's crazy.
That corny-ass smile. Yeah, he's a tough guy not to like. When it comes to wide receivers, I've asked you in the past, how come Lamar's never had a real number one? Because Patrick Mahomes, for a while, got to throw the ball to Tyreek Hill, and Joe Burrow has Ja'Marr Chase, and you can keep going down the line. The best quarterbacks always have a number one wide receiver. And then I look at Lamar pretty much his entire career, and we pretended like a while, oh, they got Odell Beckham or whatever it was. And you point out Zay Flowers is now that guy, and last night he was. So congratulations to him and to my bet, because I had him going for over 90, and he did. He looks like he's that dude.
I love that because I actually went on our pregame show last night and said I would ladder his total because it was like 58.5.
Way too low.
Just 80 yards was like 2-1. And I'm going, the Bills secondary's banged up. There's no Isaiah Likely. Who do you think they're going to? We expected Mark Andrews to get a little bit more than 5 yards, but Zay's very, very talented. The big question is, you can see his figure. He's a smaller guy. Can he stay healthy and avoid some of the nasty hits and any ankle issues? But he's out there. He's special, man. He reminds you of, I'm not going to say Tyreek Hill, but you can kind of see some of the shiftier, fast receivers we've had in this league. And I think he's right up there with some of the best.
Who's next in the division? If we agree that at some point we're going to look up and Baltimore is going to be 10-2 or something like that, like they always are, Who do you think is next in the division after just 1 week?
Honestly, I think it's going to be the Steelers, because if you watch Cincinnati's defense against Cleveland, it was atrocious, and they couldn't get anything done on the flip side because the wind was too bad for them or whatever, and the Cleveland defense was stepping up. I just don't buy into Cincinnati's defense holding up, and Joe Burrow is a phenomenal player, but asking him to throw 50 or 60 times a game, it's going to be a lot. Now, here I am saying that about the defense. God knows how many points the Steelers defense gave up in one of the craziest games we've seen yesterday. So, I think the Ravens are the cream of the crop here, and I think the Steelers and Bengals are kind of close in that second spot, but I'd give the edge to the Steelers.
Before you get out of here, you think they all get in? Because those all feel like playoff teams.
I think we're going to end up getting two from the AFC South this year, because I think
really?
Some of these teams are just going to feast upon each other. Yeah, I think the Colts are actually, I was one of the few that said Daniel Jones for comeback player of the year. And I said, I know it's a vomit play to say that. And I'm not saying after 1 week he's going to win it, because if Aiden Hutchinson does anything, it's his award to lose. But when you look back at it, like, he played great on Sunday, and behind an offensive line, good play calling, defense was solid. Look, I think they're a live dog to win next week against the Broncos. So they're interesting, and Houston's going to be around, and let's see what Jacksonville does. Jacksonville finally has a coach that can really set Sunshine up to make some plays. So we'll see how it looks.
You said the comeback player of the year was his to lose. That's not true with that award. Dude, Damar Hamlin didn't win comeback player of the year. Like, you know how much of a lock that was?
That's very fair, because I said, well, I'm not betting this, because he's definitely going to win. Like, how is that? Oh, it's Joe Flacco? Really?
To the people that bet the Flacco tickets, can you imagine the pair that they're walking around with to actually make that bet and not bet on Damar Hamlin, and then they get to cash that ticket? Good for them. That is my guy, Jeremy Kahn, from Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. I'm glad that you're feeling better, my guy. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
Love that guy, JC from Baltimore. Big Bad Morning Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We've abandoned the baseball, even though the division races are really good. Like, he mentioned that Baltimore came back and beat the Dodgers, and I got to be honest with you, I had no idea what he was talking about. Because once football season rolls around, unless you've got one of those teams that might make the playoffs, you don't really give a damn. Well, there are a bunch of them. Let's play a game of True Dat or Screw Dat baseball style on the other side. But before that, IOU Sports Flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Sean Levine.
That's Monday. Thanks for checking out the show this Monday night. In for JR. I'm the Sports Machine. Got Ryan spinning the wheels back in studio. The number's 888-710-4ISN. Top of the hour, we're going to get back into the foosball. The foosball is the devil, Bobby Boucher's mama said. We got Monday Night Football tonight. That is the Bears hosting the Vikings. The Bears are a 1.5-point favorite. So we'll break down that game. We'll talk about what we saw the last couple of days in the NFL. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk some baseball here and play a game in a couple of minutes. True Dat or Screw Dat. So let's look at the baseball scores we got going on right now. We got four games. Guardians up 4-0 on the Royals. Both those teams still alive for an American League wild card. So the Royals are they're two games back, and the Guardians are 2.5 games back. The Guardians are now up 5-0 in that game. So you do the math. If the Guardians win, then they overtake the Royals and they're still alive. But I don't think either one of those teams ends up nabbing one of those American League wild cards. Nationals, Marlins, nobody cares. No playoff implications. Braves up 3-0 on the Cubs, but the Cubs basically have that National League wild card, the first one in hand. It doesn't really matter what they do the rest of the year. And the Phillies are up 1-0 on the Mets right now. That game, top of the fourth. Speaking of the Phillies, how about the old Phillies Karen, as she's known? You probably saw there's a home run hit into the outfield, because that's where home runs are hit. And there's a bunch of people sitting in the stands. And one of these people is this woman. And there's also a dad and his son and daughter that are sitting what looked like to me about 10 feet away, like maybe a section over. Maybe they're in the same section, pretty close. Home run gets hit. And if there's a home run or a foul ball that gets hit, there's no rule, written or otherwise, that says you have to stay in your seat. Now, you probably shouldn't be elbowing people and running over kids and old ladies and all that stuff. But ultimately, if you want to dive to make a highlight catch, or if you want to, you know, go to a section over or get an end seat so you can play the aisle a little bit, to me, it's all fair and love and war and foul balls, right? Like, once a ball is hit into the stands, especially a home run ball, well, now it's just up for grabs. It's whoever gets it first. Again, there's some sort of unwritten rules. We've all seen the parent, the dad that throws the kid to the side or takes away the ball, the hat, or whatever it is. But this was a little bit different. So here's how this went down. Home run got hit basically into the seats where the, what are we calling her, the Phillies Karen was sitting. And the dad does what we all would do if there's a home run that's that close to you. He moves his body quicker. Sorry. It's how it works. He gets the ball. You're not an owner of the ball. Even if that ball was to land in your season ticket seat that you've had season tickets for the last 60 years, if it lands in your seat and somebody else grabs it before you do, sorry, that's how it goes. And so that's what happened. The dad kind of lunges forward a row, goes down, gets the ball, raises it up. Everybody cheers for him because that's what you're supposed to do. He did everything right so far. And then I'm like, I don't know if I like this dad anymore, because then he went and he handed it to his kid. And so he hands it to his kid, and the kid's obviously excited. And then the Phillies Karen comes over, and she's like, but that ball landed in our seats. Those are our seats. And then the dad kind of argues back with him. He's like, what are you talking about? That's not how it works. And then the dad takes the ball out of the kid's glove and hands it to Phillies Karen. Bro, what are you doing? If you're trying to make a point and you were right, then why do you do the wrong thing? That's bad parenting. That's a right in front of your kids like that. And then also he got interviewed afterwards, and I'm quoting him. He said he felt like he had accomplished something great for his kid. Buddy, let's back off a little bit. You didn't catch the ball. If you would have brought your glove in hopes that you're bringing your kids and you want this to be a memorable event, you're going to catch a home run ball, you're going to hand it to your kid, you're going to talk about it 50 years later. That's not what happened. There was a home run that was hit. It hit the chair. It hit the ground. And then you lunged faster than anybody. You picked it up. You didn't accomplish anything great. If this would have been baby in hand, beer in the other, and somehow you catch the ball with your mouth or something like that, now you've accomplished something great. So I don't know. I don't like Phillies Karen, whatever she is. I don't really like the dad either. You didn't accomplish anything great. You didn't even catch the ball, bro. And on top of that, you gave it back to her. Terrible example to set for your kids. And I've got a rule, by the way, while we're going down this path. If you catch it, you keep it. If you catch a foul ball, how many people listening right now, 888-710-4ISN is the phone number, have caught a foul ball? I'm not talking about a bullpen pitcher tosses you a ball before the game. I'm not talking about before the game you get a batting practice ball. I'm not even talking about what the guy got. He didn't catch a foul ball. If you catch a foul ball, you catch it, you keep it. If not, you give it to a kid or to a hot girl. Take your choice. Guardians keep scoring. This game's over. 8-0 in the fourth over my Royals. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. Let's play a game. Give me some beats. True dat or screw dat, Ryan, baseball style. The Yankees are going to win the American League East. True dat or screw dat?
I'm going to double check the standings because I thought the Red Sox have had a good stretch recently.
It is Toronto up 2, and the Yankees are up 1.5 on Boston, so I did it for you. Yeah. I have to check.
I would say screw that. I think the Blue Jays have a solid rotation and just enough offense with Springer having a good year, Bobichet having a good year. There'll be enough to hold off the Yankees.
Any way that Boston catches them. Boston's been in the conversation now since right before the All-Star break, and I haven't heard one person say they're going to win the division. And they're only 3.5 games back. I don't know if that's more people believe in Toronto and what they've done, or the Yankees are going to get right. I bet Boston sneaks in the back door because nobody's talking about him, ends up winning that division. So I'm going to say screw that. It's not the Yankees or Toronto. Give me the Red Sox. I don't really believe that, though. It just sounded cool. The Padres are going to win the NL West right now, Ryan. They're one game back. True that or screw that?
I'd say screw that. The Dodgers just have way, way too much talent. And I feel like that's a common statement, but it's true. If the Dodgers don't win the NL West every year, it's a failure.
But can't you tell, kind of like my Chiefs, that something's not, I'm not going to say wrong, but it's not as right as it's been with the Dodgers? You can see that, right?
Well, yeah. I think the combination of injuries and certain players just aging.
Yeah.
Like Mookie Betts getting a little bit older. Freddie Freeman.
A
little bit older.
Yeah, a little old.
So it's like they're starting to decline, but they still have Ohtani, who's basically MVP every single year for the next, I don't know, 3 more years. So if they don't win it, it's disappointing.
That's where I was going. True dat or screw that. Ohtani and Judge both win the MVPs again. Right now, Aaron Judge minus 360. Ohtani might as well hand it to him, minus 500. True dat or screw that, they both win the MVP again.
That's true dat. Cal Raleigh has slowed down tremendously, and that's the only person I think was in competition of those two names. The NL, you could maybe look at Kyle Schwarber just because he's hit a ton of homers, but even still, it's not that close when you look at the overall stats. And if somehow Ohtani lowers his ERA and gets under, I don't know, 3.5, they'll probably just give him a gold glove, too, or something extra.
Schwarber's plus 280, so he's still alive. Cal Raleigh's actually plus 240, so not even really too much of a long shot. $3 million. True dat or screw dat, Ryan? The Brewers are the best bet to win the World Series.
Screw dat. It's just the Brewers. It's not to disrespect the Brewers.
That's very disrespectful. You literally just said it's the Brewers.
No, but it's the Brewers. Like,
you did it again.
I know, but when you look at the names, it's the names and the star power. It's everything else. It's like Mizorowski is not that good. You know, Peralta is great now, but what will be in the playoffs? Their bullpen is a little injured right now. It's just a lot of things have to go right for the Brewers to win the World Series, and there's just so many other teams that have so many stars that you can't avoid it.
Mizorowski grew up down the street from me. He's a KC guy. And Baltimore's going to be the only, not Baltimore, they're not going to win 100 games. They stink at baseball. The Brewers are going to be the only 100-win team in baseball in all likelihood. Give me some Brewers. All right, $3 million. The best bet to win the American League is the Tigers. True dat or screw dat?
I would say true dat.
This is real Monopoly money, so you might want to think about this.
I'm saying true dat. I think they have a good rotation, the Tigers, and I think their offense is scrappy enough to where they can muster up enough runs to get to that bullpen and win.
I'm saying true that also. The Tigers, they were awesome the last quarter of the season. They've been great for about 75% of this year. I'd say they're more consistent, even though the Yankees have been playing good baseball recently, than any of these other teams. And Toronto, but Toronto's Toronto. Now I'm doing it. One more. My Royals are going to sneak into the playoffs. They're going to snag that last American League wild card. True dat or screw dat?
I'm going to say screw dat. I don't even know how far back they are, but I just don't see it with them this year.
I'm going to say screw you. New York, Boston, Seattle right now holding on to those, Ryan. Texas, 1.5 games back at that last wild card. My Royals, 2 games back. Cleveland, 2.5, but Cleveland's beating the Royals right now 8-0. So you do the math. I don't know what that means. I do know coming up on the other side, we're going to get back into the football. Talk about tonight's Monday night football game. Dun, 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 right here on the Infinity Sports Network.